Good morning again. Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Lord, we seek your presence here. We need your presence here, Lord. Instruct us, teach us, change us. Lord, I pray that you'd open up your word for us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd work in our hearts, that you would indeed create in us a clean heart, that you would indeed heal us and cleanse us. We thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years ago, you allowed yourself to be nailed to a cross. And each one of us can say, that was for me. Bless your word this morning, Lord. Bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One announcement that I forgot. Who has a birthday this month? Well, he's being subtle about it. Just because he's jumping up and down, waving his... Ricky has one too? Well, we have cake and ice cream tonight, or something and ice cream tonight. Banana cream cake? Is it cake or pie? Oh, it's cake. Well, then I guess it's accurate to say cake and ice cream. Because I thought you were talking about a pie. I thought, well, pie goes with ice cream. Can you make a rhubarb pie without strawberry? Some people are persnickety. I can be persnickety. This morning is Communion Sunday. You probably figured that out. All you had to do is look at your calendar. You know, in the Bible, numbers have meaning. Have you noticed that? Like the number one, that's a number for God. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Number two, that's a number of witness. Number three is a number of perfect witness. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them, and the testimony of two or three witnesses, a word will be established. It's also, I just lost my thinking. It went. Three is also the number of revelation, and it's the number of resurrection, and you see the number three a lot of times in the Bible, like on the third day. It took 3 days for Abraham to take his son to Mount Moriah. We see the third day quite often in the Bible. Number four, that's the number of man, the number of the world. North, south, east, west, the four corners of the earth. Number five is the number of grace. You see that in the tabernacle, all through the description of the instructions on how to build the tabernacle. You see the number five all throughout it. Number six is the number of man. On the sixth day, man was created. Seventh day is the number of finality, the number of completion, the number of perfection. It's a number of Jesus Christ. It's also in the temple, you see the number seven all throughout the temple, just like you saw five in the tabernacle. Number eight, that's a number that means, that's about new beginnings. And this Wednesday, I may start talking about the number eight or the eighth day. Anyway, we'll see. That might make it changed. God can do that. Number nine is some people think it's the number of the Holy Spirit because of the nine fruits of the Spirit. Number 10 is a minion. That's the number of people that they needed to in order to establish something or to a governmental thing or like a congregational thing. Of course, we only need two or three, don't we? 11. Number 12 is the number of government. Number 24 is the number of priesthood. Number 40. You see that a lot in the Bible. 40 days in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness. Rain in 40 days and 40 nights it rained. It's a number of testing, the number of probation. But colors also have meaning. Green represents life and little trains. Blue represents grace. White represents purity. Purple represents royalty. Silver represents redemption. Gold represents glory. Of course, whose glory? God's glory. And there's another one, too. Oh, red. That's about salvation. It represents the blood. There's a scarlet cord running throughout the Bible. I'll get to that a little later. What does the blood do? I'm glad you asked that. The blood nourishes, it cleanses, it heals, it renews, it defends against infections. And there's probably a lot more. You know, it takes the oxygen, distributes the oxygen throughout the body, all the cells. What does the blood of Jesus do for us? It nourishes us. It cleanses us. It heals us. It renews us. And it defends against spiritual infections, doesn't it? You see, the blood mentioned quite often in the Bible. Quite often. Genesis 4, 10, and 11. The blood cries out to God. Genesis 9, 4 through 6, the blood is the life. The blood must be held sacred. Genesis 37, 22, 26, and 31 through 32. This is when Joseph's brothers took his coat covered with blood back in to their father. So we see that the blood is, the blood of the son is presented to the father. That happened in heaven, didn't it? Genesis 42:22, the blood is required at the hand of those that shed it. Genesis 49:11, Judah's clothes are said to be washed in the blood of grapes. We're told in the Bible a couple of places that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. It needs to be washed, doesn't it? Exodus 4:9. The blood is a symbol and expression of God's judgment upon sin. Exodus 12:13. The blood provides a covering and shelter from the avenging angel. Exodus chapter 12 speaks of the Passover, which commemorates the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt, and also the deliverance of them from God's judgment. Without the blood, without the blood. But is that what it's really all about? Is that really the main thing being symbolized in Passover? Is it all about what happened in Egypt? The Passover has always been about Jesus Christ. Yes, it's about those other things too. It's always been about Jesus Christ. 3,500 years ago, without knowing it, they were looking forward into the future, and without knowing it, they were memorializing the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We look back at it, and we memorialize it, don't we? Do you find that hard to believe? That it's about Jesus? What did Jesus say? This is my body. This is my blood. This do in remembrance of me. He was declaring it. That's what it was always about. Yes, there's a lot of times there's more than one application to something in the Bible. You have to look at what's the most important, and that's the most important thing about it, obviously. All the way back in Exodus 12. You can go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, and you can read about Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. As I said earlier, there's a scarlet cord that runs all throughout the Bible. There was a Bible teacher that lived back in the late 1800s and early 1900s named William Evans. And he said, cut the Bible anywhere and it bleeds. The blood of Jesus stains every page, every book in both Testaments. The atonement is a scarlet cord running through every page in the entire Bible. It is red with redemption truth. All those sacrifices in Leviticus, you know, the book a lot of people skip over. Of course, 2 weeks in a row, that was our opening scripture, was Leviticus. And I'm going to go to it again. Leviticus 17:13. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. What does that mean? Deuteronomy 12:16. Only you shall not eat the blood, you shall pour it upon the earth as water. Deuteronomy 12:24. Thou shalt not eat it, thou shalt pour it upon the earth as water. Deuteronomy 15:23. Only thou shalt not eat the blood thereof, thou shalt pour it upon the water, upon the ground as water. Four times. What does it mean when God repeats himself? It means there's something important that's being said. Don't eat the blood. But I'm looking at the second part of that. Pour it on the ground. And I've wondered about that for quite a while. I've known some people that are very observant in the dietary laws. They'll take a piece of meat and they'll put it in a solution of salt and water, and it'll draw all the red stuff out. They say blood. Some people argue that it's not blood, it's just the juices, but it's whatever. And then they'll take that whatever comes out and they'll pour it down the sink. That's not what it says to do, is it? course, they didn't have sinks back then. Pour it on the ground. Why? For one thing, it nourishes the ground. You can pour it on roses and it helps them grow, I guess. It wouldn't work for me because living plants are, they come to my house to die. Four times we're told to pour the blood on the ground. The blood in these verses are all a type. Everybody know what a type is? That means it's something that looks forward to something usually relating to Jesus Christ. We're being reminded of something. We're being taught something here, even here. What happened to all the blood from the sacrifices that were offered on the altar? There was an awful lot of them. They offered thousands of them. Solomon, you couldn't count them. What happened to all the blood? It was poured out on the ground. They dug a trench. A deep trench, it had to be, for all the blood that was poured out on the ground. Why is that significant? What is it looking forward to, or what's it looking at? John 19:34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Jesus poured his blood out on the ground. So when we see the blood, whether we put it down the sink, whether we put it on the ground, what are we supposed to think of? It's a reminder. Sometimes it's a daily reminder. Leviticus 17:13 talks about the blood being poured out. John 19:37 quotes from Zechariah. It says, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. So what should we be thinking of when we look at the blood? It should be reminding us of Jesus Christ. Andrew Bonar, in his exposition of Leviticus, talks about this. He talks about a hunter going out and killing the animal and just standing there looking at that animal and pouring, taking the time to pour the blood out on the ground, because that was God's provision. That was something that we're supposed to, that they were supposed to stop and consider. To take the time to think about it. They take the time to stand still in the presence of the blood. They show it honor. They reverence it. They recognize the value of it. They don't treat it as something common. It should remind us of the one that shed his blood for us, the one whose blood was poured out onto the ground. We need to take time to remember that his blood purchase for us eternal life. Stop and consider. It's just a little thing, isn't it? You can still pour it down the sink. I do. The life is in the blood. The blood is life. It speaks to God. Is there more to it than just disposing of it? One thing I've learned about the Bible is there's always more to it. Pour out the blood onto the ground could be honestly interpreted, pour out the message of the blood, the gospel, to all the world, couldn't it? And that's it right there. How are we supposed to pour out the blood on the ground? By sharing it to the world. This morning we have a communion. As we have every first Sunday of the month. I'm going to ask Ricky and Michael if they'll come forward and hand out the elements. And I'm going to read, while they're doing that, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32. We should have this memorized by now, shouldn't we? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads and talk to the Lord. If there's something in your life or something in your heart that is not right with God, then talk to him about it. Make it right. That's what it says. It says in verse 28, let a man examine himself. That doesn't mean that this isn't to disqualify anybody. This is to qualify everybody. This is a way that we can do this with a clear conscience, and we can participate in this. So take a few minutes, speak to the Lord. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the bread. We thank you, Lord, for what it represents, the body that you gave for us. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the blood that you shed. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that cleanses us and nourishes us and heals us, Lord, and renews us. Lord, we pray for your blessing on it. Thank you. You may drink the cup. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you would save a wretch like me. I thank you, Lord, that you would desire fellowship with me. I thank you, Lord, for your death on the cross that paid the price for my sins. Thank you. Lord, I pray that you bless your people today as we go our ways, Lord. Just be with us, Lord. We need you. The world's getting darker out there. Help us to shine brighter. Because the darker it gets, the lights do shine brighter, and that's what we're supposed to do. Help us, Lord, not to give in to the ways of the world. Help us, Lord, to stay focused, stay strong for you, Lord. We can only do it with your help. We need you, Lord, every minute, every second of the day. We need your presence. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather together in fellowship and be in your presence, Lord. Bless your people today, Lord, and bring us back safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cake and ice cream tonight.